Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2 for our thoughts this morning. Appreciate that song as well. Amen. When she was playing that as the instrumental during the offering, I thought about requesting we sing that. Okay? At least we didn't get shot. Amen. All right. Anyway, good to be in the house of the Lord. And thank God for his blessings. All right. Okay. Not pay attention to him. Okay. Matter of fact, I saw Brother Steve back there earlier. He done like this. He's stretching. He done like that. I never saw him till he did. He's getting so skinny. I didn't even see him back there till he did like that. Then I saw him. Amen. But appreciate Brother Steve working on this stuff and trying to keep things going for us. Amen. All right, having said all that, let me just mention a couple of other things, and then we'll get into our text. Of course, regular service tonight at 6:30. We'll have choir practice at 6 o'clock and prayer room at 6:15. So if you can come regular adult choir practice at 6 o'clock, again, I know some are sick and all that, but we'll do the best we can. It'd be good for us to practice and go through that. And then regular service at 6:30, if you can plan on that and pray. Do have the Preacher's Fellowship is tomorrow at Seven Springs. Brother Justin Miller is the pastor there at Seven Springs over in, I guess their address is Marion, I think it's right. And then, matter of fact, Brother Crawford's preaching today down there at Central Baptist, so pray for him and them there. Calvary, he's at Calvary. Okay, I got it backwards. And anyway, I hope he's got the right one. But anyway, pray for them there, that God would bless that also as well. I've told some different ones, but Tuesday night I preached at Little Elkin Baptist Church. I preached there before a couple of times, I think. And, of course, the pastor was gone. He was at Faith Baptist Camp this week, and he'd asked me if I would fill in for him on Tuesday night since I was going to be there, and was glad to do that. They got three rows like this. Their front row is up closer to the pulpit, and they had a young man leading singing. Their normal song leader was playing the piano because their normal piano player was gone, which is Brother Sislav's daughter. So the normal choir leader is playing the piano, had a young man leading the choir, and he did a tremendous job. He sat on the front, him and his brother and some other young men on the front. And I preached from Hebrews 6:18. What I preached here a couple of Sundays ago on Christ, the sinner's refuge. You remember that? And tied in about the city of refuge. And anyway, in the invitation, the altars were full. To be honest with you, several in the altar. And about the second verse of the song, that young man that was leading singing stepped forward. He's a big, tall fellow. About one big step, he was up on the platform with me. And he said, "Preacher, I'm lost, and I've known it since January. That have been playing a hypocrite since January." Now here's how God works. Brother Sislav been preaching through the book of Numbers and ended up with chapter 35 on the cities of refuge. That was in January. And in that sermon on the city of refuge, God showed that young man he was lost. But because he'd been leading the singing, because he'd been a good boy and everybody thought he was saved, he'd made multiple professions already, he said, "I just struggled with it, wrestled it off and struggled with it, and one thing and another." Anyway, he said that Tuesday in prayer, he said, he told the Lord, he said, "Lord, I got to have some relief. I got to know, am I lost or saved?" And he said, when I announced my text, and then, of course, I read my text out of Hebrews 6:18, and then I said, turn to Numbers chapter 35. He said, I knew right then that there was my answer. Amen. So I'm glad the young man got saved. Amen. Rejoice in that. Was it me that did it? It was God that did it. Amen. But I thank him for letting me be in on it. Amen. Letting me be in on it. And I rejoice in that and pray for that young man. His name's Ethan. And so we'll be praying for Ethan that God would bless him and help him. Matter of fact, just for extra prayer requests, he works with Elliot Smith. So you know he needs prayer. Amen. Amen. Seriously, do pray for him that God would bless and help him. All right, Hebrews chapter number 2, and I'm going to read the first four verses. We'll read them together. And I've just got a short, simple sermon this morning, I think. And so pray for us about that, that God would use it for his glory. Verse number 1, as I said, we'll read it responsibly. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now I'm going to stop there at verse 4. Let's read verse 1 again, all of us together. Reading verse 1, really my text verse. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. I've got a Christmas gift for Brother Steve. I've got a short title. I'm just going to preach today on simply slipping. Simply slipping. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I love you. Thank you for your blessings, grace, and goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day you've given us. And Lord, I am so grateful we didn't have ice and snow and sleet and freezing rain. Lord, I want to thank you that you spared us from that. We was able to come to church. And Lord, I pray you'd spare us as would be your will. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here. Glad we're not sick. I know we've got several that are. I pray you'd touch them and help them through their sickness. And then these special needs that we mentioned, Miss Elizabeth and her situation, Miss White and her situation, Darren Mattingly and his situation. Lord, would you intervene on these cases? Help Ethan and the church there at Little Elkin. Bless them and use them, Lord, I pray. And help us here this morning according to thy will. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those that are traveling or will be traveling today. And Lord, you'd have your way in our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm preaching, as I said, on that phrase, simply slipping. What I notice about verse number 1, he's talking about lest we let them slip. Brother, I mentioned Brother Elliot Smith. When he was here in 96? When he was here in 96, he may have preached a sermon. Around that time, he was preaching at Vision in 93 on, excuse me, your slip showing from that text about things people are letting slip. And there's a lot of things we just let slip. I'm not thinking about his message, but I've just remembered that as I was looking at it. I read this text again recently this week. I know we covered this earlier this year in going through Hebrews verse by verse. Lord willing, we'll be there in chapter 7 tonight as we look at that. But I read this again this week and couldn't get away from this thought. I kept thinking about it yesterday and even this morning, and I think this is where I ought to be. And thinking about this fact of simply slipping. Now, here's what I want you to notice. When he's dealing with this, he goes on talking about verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect? Things slip through neglect. It's not reject. It's not that you throw it away. It's not that you cast it aside. It's just you don't get a good grip on it. Don't get a good hold of it. You just let it slip. It seems as if it slips through our fingers. So again, verse number 1 is not talking about intentional rejecting or forsaking the gospel, but just letting the gospel slip through your fingers is what he's dealing with in this verse. Amen. I've had a tendency, some of you may have as well, I've had a tendency in the past a number of times, to be sitting in my chair reading a book and not off to sleep. And in my sleep, I am not aware that I'm losing my grip on my book. But I do. I relax the grip of my book and the book falls in my lap, wakes me up, or falls in the floor, and I snore right on past it. But seriously, you understand what he's talking about with that thing about slippage, all right? Talking about losing our grip. The word picture that he has here is drawn, and we can see that very well, I believe, in the text. So let me take a few minutes and speak about that. I believe it is a phenomenon that is very, very frequent, very familiar to us, and very sad that it happens. Amen. And I want to look at this text and give us something of warning, if I can, and maybe something helpful that we might avoid these situations. First of all, I want to talk about the danger foreseen in verse number one. That's where my text is going to be for all these verses particularly. But that last phrase, he said, lest at any time we should let them slip. So the writer of Hebrews can foresee the fact that these people are letting some things slip, or that they are at least in danger of letting something slip. They say that the metaphor used in the Greek in our text here, amen. Okay. The metaphor used in the Greek in our text here is not so much like sand slipping through our fingers, but more like a boat that is floating with the tide, that is being unmoored, that is going away from the dock or away from the shore where that it was wanted to be. And so it's just a boat that maybe has been left unattended. Nobody's looking after it. It's not that somebody's rowing it away. It's not that they are shoving it away. It's just with the wind and the current, the tide is pulling that boat out into the dangerous deep. And I'm afraid there's so much that happens in our life that it's not somebody pushing us or somebody pulling us or us intentionally headed in the wrong direction. It's just that life happens and we're going with the flow. And not even realizing the dangers that are set before us. Amen. And so that's the idea that I want to look at. If we're not careful, then we may be drifting downstream in our life. I wrote down some things, and I'm not going to elaborate on these, that just slip through our fingers. We've all seen a picture. Here's a good word picture. Think of an hourglass, not the little bitty ones that you get in a game that do not last an hour, but the great big ones that actually lasted an hour. You know what I'm talking about? And that the top part of that bowl, a bubble of that, has got sand in it. It's full of sand, but the sand is pouring out as rapidly as it can. And nobody is forcing that sand. It's just gravity that's pulling the sand out and the natural works of nature. That sand is falling down, and that's how our life is. It is passing hour by hour, moment by moment, day by day, and it is passing us by. Here's some things, if we're not careful, we'll let slip. I thought about childhood. Not just talking about our childhood. If we're not careful, we'll let our children's childhood pass us by. They're born. We're so glad they're born, but we can't wait for them to be able to sit up on their own and be able to hold the bottle on their own or be able to feed themselves. And before you know it, they're out and gone. Totally gone. And we have missed so much opportunity. Right here at holidays, Thanksgiving, and headed towards Christmas, it's a good time to focus on family. I'm not talking about James Dobson, but focus, put a little bit of attention on family. Amen. You know, family's a lot more important than games and gadgets and get-togethers and everything, you know, all the food and all that. The family's what's important. Amen. And we ought to recognize that. I was thinking about our kid. We had Thanksgiving and Christmas on the same day because we're not going back to North Carolina for Christmas. And the way we do it every other year, one year we go for Christmas and our kids go to their in-laws at Thanksgiving and with us at Christmas. And then the next year, as is this year, we're all together on Thanksgiving and they go to their in-laws on Christmas. So we celebrated Christmas while we were in there. And I was thinking about particularly like Ben, our youngest son, him and his kids. They've got a new little baby in their house, little Brooklyn. And those kids got all kinds of toys, but there wasn't nobody excited about the toys as much as they was excited about playing with that little sister. Playing with that new baby. Amen. You know why? Because that's really what's important. Amen. It's not how shiny your car is. It's how's your family. Not necessarily how big your house is. What about your family? That's what's really important. Because a house is not a home without family. Amen.
So I thought about childhood. And again, I said I'm not tarry with these. I thought about self-improvements, things that we say we're going to do. I mean, here we are headed. How many, you don't have to raise your hand. How many people pushed away from the table on Thanksgiving Day and said, I'm going to start walking tomorrow? I got to do something to get this weight off. I'm going to start dieting. One fellow said, I ate more than I meant to. I'm going to start dieting tomorrow. No, I can't tomorrow. We're going to Cracker Barrel tomorrow. I'll start dieting later. I'm afraid that's how it is. Self-improvements. We think we're going to do better. And they sell so much exercise equipment right at the first of the year, and then somebody puts it on the yard sale in the summer. Right. They sell a lot of organizational tools. You know about that, right? I mean, you may already be getting ads. You will be getting ads. And I won't be naming the businesses, but businesses all around are going to be selling totes, and they're going to be selling file cabinets, and they're going to be selling all this stuff to get organized. And we always plan to. We just let it slip through our fingers. Amen. How about this, and make it spiritual? How about Bible reading? We intended to read our Bible. I was listening to the radio coming in this morning. On the news, they was talking about a poll about Bible reading. Now get this. Bible reading across the United States. They ask how many people are active Bible readers. Now here's their definition. An active Bible reader means you have read your Bible outside of church at least 3 times in the past year. Not read it through. Read it. An active Bible reader, according to them, is somebody that has read their Bible 3 times this year outside of being in church. And by the way, 36% of Americans fit that. Yeah. Only 36% of Americans fit that. But I intend on reading my Bible. I'm going to read it through this year. I'm going to read it through in the next year and a half. I'm going to read it through in the next, whatever the case is. We got a plan. By the way, we have those Bible reading plans, and we give those out or set them out where you can get them. I'm glad to do that. Brother Hughes always sends us some of those, and those are fine and good. But the problem is a lot of people just let it slip through their fingers. What about prayer? Same thing. Prayer. We intend on praying more. What about church attendance? Well, I know I need to get in church. But we let one service after another go by. How about visiting others? Sometimes we think, well, I'm going to go visit them. I'm going to just go and pay them a visit. But we don't. What about calling somebody to encourage them? We think we're going to. Plan to. We just don't do it. I thought about morals and standards that just drift. Right, they just drift. I mean, you know, for example, we've got the conviction we're going to pray over our meals unless we're with family that don't pray over theirs. And then we'll just skip it this time. We could go through a lot of things. I could just go on and on and on about those things. But here's the worst one. What about salvation? Nobody ever, I say nobody, very few people make up their mind they are going to hell. Very few people make up their mind that's what they want to do. And those that make up their mind that's what they want to do, they really don't want to do that. They just think they want to do that. Most people think I'm going to get saved one of these days. But they let salvation slip. How does it slip through the fingers? By neglect. That's what it says in our Bible. We neglect so great salvation. So there's the danger foreseen. Secondly, there's the duty foretold. Verse number 1, the first part of that. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Amen. We ought to focus on it. Brother Jacob was teaching something about that this morning. Set your affection on things above. Amen. Seek those things which are above. Amen. We have a duty that God has told us. Think about this book right here. This Bible is a miraculous book. No other book in the world like this book. Amen. No other book. God is the wealth of information physically and spiritually. Amen. No other book that's got all the wealth of information that this book has. No other book's been as well written. I understand, you know, the variety. We could go into 66 books and all the different authors and the amount of time and the distance between them and all that. It's miraculous how God put it together and it agrees with one another. Amen. It contains truth. I'm talking about this book. Contains truth that could only come from God. Amen. Every year, in the last few years, I've set my goal to read certain books. I've set my goal to read a certain amount of books. And I've set my goal to read certain books. And some of them to read again at a certain time. I'm going through a book now that I read back in 1985. And I didn't understand it when I read it in 85. I think I'm a place I can comprehend it better now. At least it's speaking to me now much better than it did then. But I made up my mind that I was going to do that. But here's my point. We think about books. Well, have you read this? You got to read this. I'll tell you, this right here is one you better not miss reading. Amen. I was listening to a podcast some time ago. A guy that is a Christian apologist, not apologizing for Christianity, but you understand apologetics. He's arguing for Christianity against Muslims. And a guy asked him this. This man's 55 years old, and he is an expert at arguing with Muslims about the Bible. He knows the Quran inside and out. He knows his Bible. He gave his salvation testimony. Sounded wonderful to me, to be honest with you. What he said sounded wonderful. But they asked the question. He said, I'm sure you've read your Bible. How much do you know? How many times you've read your Bible? He said, at least twice. I'm not building up. I'm just saying, y'all know your Bible. You'll never get to know it if you don't read it. Amen. And some people say, I don't want to just get in a routine. I don't want it just to be a ritual. But if you don't have some kind of plan, you'll probably never succeed in getting through it. You'll fool yourself in that. Right. But think about this Bible that we've got. Governments, kingdoms, and religions have banned it and burned it. Now Satan is trying to dilute it with all these man-made versions that leave out what God said and say what man says. But God has preserved his word. Amen. We can rejoice in the fact that God has preserved his word. Be careful. Now here's where I'm going with this. I think Brother Jacob touched on it, that we ought to be consulting our Bible every day. We ought to be in our Bible. There ought to be at least something. Get a verse if you can't get anything else. Something of the scripture in your life today. Because if you don't, days will become weeks. Weeks will become months. Months will become years. And if you're not careful, you will have lived a life without the Word of God having an impact on your life that it should have had, could have had. A life without guidance and a life without God. Amen. And then my third point, the last one there in verse number 1 as well, the diligence forewarned. The danger foreseen, the duty foretold, the diligence forewarned. I'm going back to the first part and reading right into the middle. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. To the things which we have heard. There was a time they read the Bible in school. And we got parents that complain about them not reading the Bible at school, but they don't read it at their house. Right? We got people get all up in arms because they take the Ten Commandments off the courthouse walls. We don't have the Ten Commandments on our walls. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we need to pay some attention to the Word ourselves. We need to realize this Bible has got answers in it. It's got the answers for our life. Amen. Brother Duncan was saying about his stepson, saying last yesterday, and I didn't intend on this applying, but it applies. He said one of the things he kept doing yesterday in his despair was he just kept saying, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know what to do. And that's true. We all come to places we don't know what to do. But we got a Bible that'll give us what we can know what to do. Amen. That we can at least find something that will strengthen us and help us. Now, it may not have the exact thing, like exactly what you're looking at. For example, somebody might say, well, I don't know if gambling's right or wrong. I don't know if drinking's right or wrong. I don't know if smoking's right or wrong. I don't know. And you just name whatever you want to name. But if you start studying the Bible, it don't take you a whole lot of time to find out. Though those very specific things may not be stated, there's teachings in the Bible that'll help you to know what to do. Amen. The diligence forewarned. I've got three reasons why we need the Bible. We need the Bible in our daily life. Matter of fact, he says we ought to give the more earnest heed. That's adding diligently, with all diligence, adding these things into our life that he's talking about there. So there's the diligence forewarned. As I said, I got three things. Number one, I do ABC. A, there's the dignity of the speaker. When you're reading your Bible, it's not Pharaoh Shepherd talking to you. It's not even King James talking to you. It's God. Look back at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. This is how it started. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, and we'll stop there. He said, God's speaking to us in these last days. God is speaking to us. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Since this word, this is not a man's word, this is God's word, then we ought to give heed to the word of God. It's God speaking to us. B, there's not only the dignity of the speaker, there's the durability of the truth. What is spoken? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that's durable. Amen. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Amen. The durability of the truth. God's speaking to us. And God's word doesn't change with the age. Truth doesn't change with the age. It's eternal. Amen. It's eternal. Truth doesn't change. I know there are people that talk about, I want to give my truth, as if their truth is different from somebody else's truth. Truth is truth. And if it's not true, it's a lie. You can believe it all you want to believe it. You can embrace it all you want to embrace it. You can embody it all you want to embody it. But if it's not the truth, it's still a lie. It's not your truth. It could be your lie. But truth is from the Bible. It's eternal. Amen. So here's what I thought about it. And I'm almost done, but here's my thought. Those things that would work back in, we'll say the 1800s, just to pick a time. Those things that would work to build a good, strong family in the 1800s will still work today. Where did they get their idea for family back in the 1800s? They got it from the Bible. Amen. They got it from the Bible. The same thing that would build a strong nation in the 1700s will build a strong nation today if we'll get back to the Bible. Amen. Amen. The same gospel message that delivered people from drunkenness and adultery and incest and devil possession back in the past still works today. It'll still set people free from those bondages and those addictions. Amen. I'm not against these, recovery programs that a lot of things have. I'm not necessarily against them. I know many of them, like, for example, AA will tell you once you're an alcoholic, you'll always be an alcoholic, but according to the scripture, and then it can be changed by the gospel. Amen. The gospel actually changes people. Yep. Amen. It's not just that you got more determination, it's that you've been changed from the creature you once were. Right. Amen. made a new creature in Christ Jesus. But even those recovery programs, if they're used correctly, they don't take the place of the gospel. It's not that God couldn't deliver you, for example, from pornography, from narcotics. Are you following me? He can deliver you completely without that program or with it. Amen. So there's the dignity of the speaker, there's the durability of the truth, and last of all, there's the damage if we let them slip. Chapter 2, Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape? What, escape what? Eternal damage. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? These verses capitalize on the eternal damage of letting salvation slip through your fingers. Now, I've tried to preach to all of us, not just those that need to be saved. Those of us that are saved, we need Bible reading. We need prayer. We need standards and morals. We need convictions. We need to be careful to visit others and to encourage others. And all those things apply to every one of us. But the most important thing, if you let slip salvation, you've lost it all. I don't care how many times you've read your Bible. I don't care how many prayers you've prayed. I don't care how many visits you've made. If you miss salvation, you've missed it all. Now here's what he's saying, and I'm done. I'm going to have him come with a song. Here's what he's saying. We've got to move when God moves. When God is speaking. I appreciate what Brother Jacob said this morning about conviction. Conviction means convincing. When you've been convinced that you're a sinner, the Holy Ghost did that. You didn't do it yourself. Mom and Daddy didn't do that. Amen. Takes the Holy Ghost to convince you of that. God's moving. And when he's moving, you need to move to lay hold on eternal life. How do you do that? By taking Christ at his word. When that young man stepped up, he stepped like right here. I still had my microphone on. I forgot I had it on. So when I was whispering to him, they was hearing it over everything. Here, I'll lay it down here when I'm dealing with somebody to try not to make it so necessarily public. At least I wasn't on the air there. But when I knelt down with that young man, and that's what he said. He said, preacher, he said, I know I'm lost. I've known it since January. Been playing the hypocrite. I need to be saved. And I bowed with him, and he bowed. I said, young man, I'm sure you probably know what the Bible says. I said, what the Bible says about believing in your heart. And he said, and confessing with your lips. He repeated that right after me. I mean, I didn't say it. He said it in the place. And I said, that's what you got to do. And I didn't say, let's pray. He just went to calling on God. That's laying hold on eternal life. You don't have to wait on somebody to lead you in a prayer. You don't have to wait on somebody to say the words and you repeat the words. You just got to get to Jesus. But can I tell you, don't let it slip. Just simply slip. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I want to thank you again for the word of God. We've tried to preach it this morning. And Lord, I hope it's been a help to somebody. I pray particularly for the soul that needs Jesus. They trust Christ. Right now, and not let it slip. Father, I pray for the saint that needs these other things, Bible reading, prayer, church attendance, compassion on others, encouragement towards others, direction in our own life. Lord, help us not to let these things slip. And Lord, you get glory, we pray. Work in this invitation according to thy will. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.